Talking today with Dave White, of course, Chief Natural Resource Conservation Service. Dave, I know that a lot of things going on right now in our nation's capital, a lot of it to do with budget. And hearing yesterday from the House Ag Committee Chairman, Mr. Lucas, he says, got to prioritize, got to make choices probably about what's best when it comes to conservation and other programs too. How do we do that successfully within your agency?
Well, Ron, I'm going to take a contrarian view on these budget cuts. I know most people are running around with their hair on fire saying the earth is coming to an end. but I really think it provides us an opportunity. And certainly looking at NRCS, it's going to really provide me an opportunity to refocus the agency on what Mr. Lucas said, the priorities. Where are the strategic assets? Where are the people? I want to push more people to the field offices. So I think that we're going to come out of this as a stronger, better, more responsive agency.
When we were in our nation's capital, you were talking about some of the initiatives that are going on right now, and you cited the sedge grouse as a victory, a win-win type thing for the industry. Walk with me with this lesser prairie chicken. How do we parallel that particular situation?
That one we're a little more tentative on. Lesser prairie chicken is a bird. It's five states, of which Oklahoma is one. It's on the cusp of being listed as a threatened and endangered species. Of course, our goal would be to prevent that from happening. We'd just as soon not see the bird tip over to that category. So we're working with ranchers mostly for habitat issues. We are going to have a meeting with the Fish and Wildlife Service and try to do for the lesser prairie chicken what we were able to do with the sage grouse. And that is come up with an agreement where if a rancher works with us and they address the issues surrounding lesser prairie chickens, then it doesn't matter if the bird is listed, the rancher will not be affected. They'll get they'll have the certainty that they can continue to ranch, and that's what we want.
And really, that was one of the keys, I think, with the sage grouse, is that you were able to effectively work agency to agency, right?
That's right. There's no reason why we should have two federal agencies that can't come to an agreement on something this important. And the thing that really got me so concerned is what happened several years ago with the spotted owl. Spotted owl was virtually shut down logging in the Pacific Northwest, and it only impacted two states. And here you've got the lesser prairie chicken, which is five states. You've got the sage grouse, which is 11 states. So they're so much larger. So we really are grateful that Fish and Wildlife Service is willing to work with us, and I think we can come up with a win-win for agriculture here too.
When we start thinking about some of the programs that are under your purview, it seems like several of them, EQIP is maybe the poster child of them all, as far as that we always seem to have more folks than money.
That's true. The program is oversubscribed. There's more people who there's more needs out there than we have funding, and I don't think that's going to change, Ron. I think Congress has a heck of a challenge when they go to do the 2012 Farm Bill. The budget climate is going to be tougher, so I don't look for that to change.
So, you know, as we think about something like EQIP, how do you make do with less? In other words, you were saying you want to try to focus and try to squeeze every drop you can. How do you effectively do that with a program like EQIP?
Well, science is telling us that not all acres are created equal. If we want to focus the dollars on areas where we can have a bigger impact, that makes the dollars go farther, so to speak. If you treat one highly erosive acre versus a non-erosive acre, you can have five times the impact. If we can put the lesser prairie chicken, if we can go into areas where the lesser prairie chicken needs habitat, we can maybe prevent the listing and benefit all of agriculture. So I think if we can focus our resources while still maintaining a good base where there's funding in all counties and just take a little bit and go after some of the tougher problems, I think we can make the dollars go further.
Is that kind of like what we've seen in like the CREP utilizing as far as the rifle approach or that focused approach on some of these water pollution problems working with EPA?
Exactly. We have a large targeted effort going on in the Chesapeake Bay, and a lot of the Aggies I deal with, you know, we kind of view Chesapeake Bay as the canary in the coal mine as far as a regulatory approach. And I think I'm a lot more bullish on the Chesapeake Bay than a lot of people are. I think we can solve that problem as far as ag is concerned.
Obviously, your group, and we've had this conversation up in D.C., your group, your agency does not directly oversee CRP, but you're the technical consultant. And we're hearing calls, even from the National Association of Conservation Districts, that maybe we need emergency grazing if we've got the technical plans in place. How are you working with producers to make sure they're doing all they're supposed to do with CRP land, and maybe it could be grazed?
Well, you are right. It is not a program administered by NRCS, the Farm Service Agency, and we defer to them on those kinds of calls. What we will do is work with the producer, make sure their plan is in place, but the actual decision on whether to graze or not to graze would be the Farm Service Agency. We'll provide them the information, and we will respect the decision they make.
When we have obviously, we've got some parts of the country that are getting flooded right now. Our part of the world is kind of on that cusp where we've got a lot of dry, exceptional drought in some areas. That really strains even what we're doing successfully in the conservation arena, right?
Yeah, it does. We're seeing a lot of extreme weather events around the country, flooding in New England, and, of course, what's going on now in the Midwest and along the Mississippi. We have a huge snowpack out west, and depending on how the melt goes there, we could have flooding throughout the western states. So we just got to continue working with local people. You know, we're local-based, and if something happens, to work with the local sponsors, local unit of governments, and do what we can to mitigate whatever occurs.
One last question as far as, you know, as we think about this particular meeting, this particular group, the watershed, folks that are focusing on our watersheds, our flood control dams. We've got a real success story, but I know we've got a real challenge again on money.
That's correct. There's about 11,000 dams in the country, small watershed dams. And of course, Oklahoma is ground zero. There's over 2,000 here. And these dams provide about $2 billion a year in benefits to the public, whether prevented damages, recreation, water supply for small communities, things like that. And a lot of these structures are getting old. And if we want to keep them providing those values, we're going to have to find ways to make sure they're rehabilitated and extend their useful lives.
When you go to the when you go to this whole, you know, budget scenario and this 2012 writing of the Farm Bill, what recommendations might you have for the lawmakers when they come to that conservation title?
Well, I think the budget climate also presents Congress some opportunities to streamline, to simplify the programs that we have. Like, for example, we have four easement programs that we administer in NRCS. Do you really need four? Maybe we can do with one. So I think Congress has got some opportunities there if they want to look at collapsing, streamlining, and simplifying it. And if there were fewer programs, it would be simpler for us, it would be simpler for the farmers, and I think we'd have better results.
Chief of the Natural Resource Conservation Service, Dave White. In Oklahoma City on the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.